Shalom Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, The Seven Who Came Home, was written by Sigmund Miller.
Only the toughest of these children survived. The journey began in Holberg, Germany, when I came home one afternoon and found my father, mother, and sister shot dead. From that moment on, I hated the entire world. I was 19 then, and I fled towards Warsaw to find Anton Becker, who had helped so many people escape to Palestine. I traveled by night and hid by day. I crossed the border into Poland within 50 feet of a Nazi guard. The first town I came to was Kolice. Here in this completely ruined town, I met Joseph. He was 9 years old, frail and thin, and his left arm hung loosely at his side.
Can I have a piece of your bread?
When did you eat last?
Yesterday.
Where are your parents?
They took them away.
Are you Jewish?
Yes.
What's the matter with your arm?
I don't know. Can I have a small piece of your bread?
Did you have an accident?
No, I didn't.
Well, then why is it paralyzed?
I don't know.
Something must have happened to it.
Can I have a piece of...
All right. There isn't much. Here. Now, when did it become paralyzed?
About a month ago. They came and took my father. I held onto him with all my might, but they pulled him away. Ever since, I can't move my fingers or my arm. Where are you going?
To Palestine.
Can I go with you?
It's too far for you. We'll have to walk, and your shoes won't last more than a few days.
I can walk barefoot. See?
He had ripped his shoes off and jumped with his bare feet on rough rock till he cut the sole of one of his feet.
See? My feet are tough.
He looked up at me, his pale skin and shiny eyes and hopeless face. With his good hand, he held my jacket in a tight clutch. His coat was four sizes too big, and his shoes were crumbling. He had been on his own for a long time.
I know how to steal food.
Finish your bread. Let's start moving. We've got a long way to go. Afraid that I might change my mind, Joseph walked faster than I did to show that he would not be in the way. We walked all night long. Dawn began to break, we looked for a safe hiding place to spend the day. In front of us was a burned-out Polish tank. In the deep grass in front of it lay a young girl. She wore a torn, gray, sleeveless dress. And on her bare arm was a purple German brand. Field Corps.
Is she dead?
I don't know. Get up.
Who are you?
Do we look like Nazis?
No.
That's no place to hide.
Thanks for waking me. I fell down here exhausted. I've been running for hours.
She saw me glance at her branded arm. She quickly covered it. She was no more than 15.
We're going to Palestine.
Palestine?
Better get away from here. This is no place to hide.
Take me with you.
It's no good to travel in groups.
I can be of real help. I can cook, and I'm strong. Take me with you.
What's your name?
Mary.
All right. We'll try it for a while and see how it works out. We crossed the Vata River at night, but it was not a smooth crossing. The occupation guards had seen us. We crouched like stones in the reeds, half submerged in water, while the soldiers hunted for us. For an hour, we crouched motionless, and although it was midsummer, a cool wind came up, chilling us all. They searched for another hour and then gave it up. In the morning, we continued on our way to Warsaw. A few days later, as we passed through a small village, we met Alex.
What's your name?
Alex.
What's the matter with your neck?
Nothing.
Then why don't you look at us when you talk to us?
Come here, Alex. Now tell me, why do you turn your face away?
You have a nice face, Alex. You shouldn't be ashamed of it.
No, it's not a nice face.
It's like any other boy's face. Like Joseph.
I hate it.
Why?
I just hate it.
We're going to Palestine.
I want to go to Palestine, too.
I'm sorry, but we can't take any more. We'll get caught if we have too many people with us.
I have a gun, a Luger. I found it on a dead soldier.
Let me see it.
Will you take me along?
We'll be too large a group.
We'll be safe with a gun. I also have bullets, see?
All right. You can come along. Now give me the gun. We could not find out why Alex would not look at us when he spoke. So we let him be. A few nights later, along a muddy back road, we met Clara. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was digging with her hands on the side of the road. She was about 6 years old.
What are you digging, little girl?
I'm digging a hole for my doll.
I don't think your doll will like that.
Oh, I'm sure the dolly won't mind.
Go ahead.
I watched with grim fascination this sad, intense child burying a doll at 2 o'clock in the morning on a lonely Polish road.
What's your name?
Clara Greenstein.
Where do you live, Clara?
I live no place.
Where's your mommy? Philip, please, we must take her along.
She will only slow us up. She has no shoes.
And we'll take turns carrying her when it's necessary.
Well, we can't leave her alone here.
Clara, you want to come with us?
Where are you going?
To Palestine.
Where is that?
A place where there are no Nazi soldiers, where they like children.
I want to go to Palestine.
All right, Clara. Come along.
I want to take my dolly.
With her hand, she now dug up the doll and carefully brushed it off. When she had done this, Mary took her hand, and we all continued on our way to Warsaw. Stop, everybody. We're coming into Warsaw. I'm going to find Anton Becker, who will help us get to Palestine. It may take me a few days to find him, but you're not to move away from this cellar.
You swear you'll come back?
I'm not deserting you. Mary will be in charge. Do everything she tells you.
Philip, come back soon.
I'll be back. Be careful. Do you know an Anton Becker?
Everybody I know is dead.
Do you know anyone by name of Becker?
Becker? Becker? No, I don't.
Have you ever heard of Anton Becker?
You mean the man who's in charge of the Jewish youth group?
Yes. Yes, that's him. Where can I find him?
He is in Switzerland, but his brother lives on Friedrichstrasse.
Which house?
The one that still has windows in it. You can't miss it. His brother's name is David Becker.
is there?
Philip. Philip Hauser, a friend. Are you David Becker?
What do you want?
I'm looking for Anton, the leader of the Jewish youth group.
What do you want him for?
I want to go to Palestine. I have four children with me.
You want to go to Palestine? There are 100,000 Jews here in the ghetto who would give anything to go.
Where can I find your brother?
He's in Zurich, Switzerland, 1,000 miles away, 1,000 Nazi-infested miles away.
What is his address?
It is no use my giving it to you.
What is the address in Zurich?
Number 10, Rue Bastogne.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's here. He's come back. Philip is here.
What happened? Did you find Anton Becker?
No, but I found his brother. Anton has moved his office to Zurich.
Switzerland?
That's right. It's very far away, but we'll have to go there. We might as well get started right now. We'll leave the cellar one at a time. A full moon shone down as we left the city, walking south in the direction of Czechoslovakia. The full moon meant bombers. They were moving east in large numbers. Although we kept looking skyward nervously, we kept walking steadily. Just outside of Warsaw, we were caught in an air raid. The British and American planes were attacking a petrol dump. There was no place to hide, so we lay down on the road and waited for the raid to end. The entire area was being saturated with explosives. The children huddled around me in silent fear. No one cried or cried out. The countryside was ablaze, lit up by the flaming petrol dump and several homes and farmhouses which had become torches, lighting our way. Not more than 100 yards from where we huddled on the road, a small house was aflame from roof to cellar. A little child whose clothes were afire sat just outside the burning cottage.
Mommy. You're all right now.
Mommy.
You're all right now.
Mommy.
In there.
We better get away from here.
No. I will not go away. I want my mommy.
Well, what should we do?
Let's get away from the house. Let's start walking. Come on, Joseph. Alex, Clara. Let's go.
No, no, no. I want to wait for Mommy. No, no. No.
Her name was Shoshana. For hours as I carried her down the charred Polish countryside, she cried until her tears rolled down my neck, soaking my shirt. And even when she fell asleep, she sobbed fitfully. We had rescued her in time. There were only a few minor burns on her arms. And now silently we marched through the bright moonlit night. As I walked, I thought of 1,000 bloody evil miles, a wilderness of murder and hate that stood between us and Zurich. And as I walked, my heart filled with loathing at this murderous, foul, heartless, degrading world that could paralyze a child's arm, make a boy despise his own face, that could mutilate little children. And I wondered what I was doing, living in this nightmare age, walking a dark road in a nightmare land, with 5 frightened children following me. Why save them? For what purpose? Why not let them die? Let all mankind die. We not only kill ourselves, we kill little children. Why let these 5 innocent children suffer a journey that can never succeed? Why go on? Please, God, let a bomb fall from the sky and kill us all.
Hush, Shoshana. Everything will be all right now.
We hid by day and traveled by night. We took no roads but marched across the damp Polish fields, through burnt-out potato patches and ruined wheat fields, through pasture lands and forests. The days and nights blended into each other so that we did not know what day it was. We suffered from hunger frequently and from exposure to rain. But we marched steadily until we reached the Carpathian Mountains. By that time, we had been shot at 3 times, but no one had been hit. We had learned at the sound of the first shot to scatter and conceal ourselves like trained infantry soldiers. We could lie still without moving for hours, and no one stirred until I gave the order. They were no different than stones where they hid. We crossed the mountains. I carried Clara all the way, as Mary carried Shoshana and as Alex helped Joseph with his paralyzed arm. And then we marched westward into Germany. And then we could march no more. In a cave on a hillside, we hid.
I think Joseph is sick.
No, I'm not.
Come here, Joseph.
I'm fine. I can walk.
Take off your shoes. Come on, take them off. Now, let's see your feet. Throw the shoes away.
My shoes?
We're going to find you a new pair. If we can't, you're going to walk barefooted. Those shoes are so cracked, they're cutting your feet to shreds. Throw them away.
Philip, Clara is burying her doll again. Can't we do something about her?
What are you doing, Clara?
I'm digging a hole for my dolly.
I don't think your dolly likes that.
Oh, yes, she does. She likes it.
She doesn't like to get dirt all over her.
My mommy liked it.
Your mommy? Tell me about her.
My brother and me put her in a hole. He said she was sleeping dead and that she wants us to put her in a hole and cover her up.
Oh. And where's your brother?
He was stealing food from a store when a soldier hit him on the head with a big gun. He never woke up, so I dug a hole for him, too, and covered him up.
Come here and sit on my lap. Now close your eyes and I'll tell you a story. Do you know where we're going?
To Palestine.
Palestine is a warm, sunny land where there are no Nazi soldiers. Did you ever eat an orange?
What's an orange?
An orange is a golden apple with sweet juice inside. It makes your bones strong and tickles your throat so that you will laugh all the time.
We will all eat oranges?
Yes.
And will my mommy also eat an orange?
Your mommy won't wake up for a very long time. Now, you close your eyes, Clara, and think about Palestine and the golden oranges. And the more you think about it, the quicker we will get there. Alex, do you want to come with me?
Can I go?
No, Joseph, you have no shoes. I'm going to try to get you and Clara some. How about it, Alex?
I'll go.
That's a good boy. Are you scared?
Yes.
So am I. Let's go.
Good morning.
I'd like a pair of shoes for this boy.
I don't believe I have his size.
Well, then a size smaller.
Have you an army permit card?
No.
You know the law. We have very few shoes.
This is my permit card.
Oh.
One sound out of you and I'll kill you.
Yes.
Alex, take his gun and keep it pointed at him. If he makes a move, shoot him and look at him. Keep your eyes on him all the time. Don't turn your face away.
Yes.
All right. I want a pair of shoes for a 9-year-old boy. And a pair of shoes for a 6-year-old girl. And hurry.
But I give them to me.
Are we very far from the cave, Philip?
Just a few more miles. You were very brave holding that gun. And you looked straight at him without turning your face away.
I was very scared.
So was I. You might as well tell me. Why do you hide your face?
I don't know.
Of course you know. Come on, tell me.
Well, when the Nazis came to our house, my mother and father told them they were not Jewish. They believed them until they looked at me. He's got a Jewish face, they said. They asked me, and I said no. Then one of the soldiers twisted my arm And another grabbed me by the hair and twisted my head back until I screamed and told them I was Jewish. My father tried to rescue me, but they killed him and my mother. It was my face that killed them. If it weren't for my face, my parents would be alive.
No, it's not your face, Alex. It's not your fault at all.
It is, it is.
We'll talk about this later. Watch it now. We've got to cross an open field.
Eight days later, we had passed through the Black Forest. We could see Switzerland across the river. We were all in desperate condition. And while the children hid in the woods, Alex and I gathered driftwood and tied it together until we had a crude raft. It took us two nights to do this. And when we were finished, I called my companions together. We have one more thing to do. We've got to cross the river. The river is constantly patrolled by the Germans. We can only cross it unseen in a rainstorm or a fog. We will have to wait for the weather. Now, when we cross, we're going to get very wet, and we're going to freeze. But you must keep up your courage and determination. And soon we'll all be warm again in Palestine. We waited a week for the weather. From our hideout in the forest, we could see Nazi motorboats skimming up and down the river in endless patrols. And then a heavy fog rolled in. We uncovered the raft hidden under branches and leaves, and we began the crossing.
Just a little more. We're near the shore now. Don't do that. No splashing or they'll hear us. We must wait until the patrol boat passes. Stop. Stop paddling.
Can we paddle now?
Yes. Paddle fast, but without splashing.
We're here. We've made it. We're in free land.
What was that?
We're refugees.
Let me see your papers.
We have no papers. We're dispossessed people.
You cannot land.
If we go back, they'll kill us.
You cannot land. That's my orders.
You would send these children back to die?
You will have to go back.
You can't be as inhuman as the Nazis.
I have my instructions. Now get back onto your raft.
Let me see your commandant.
Look here. I've been told not to allow anyone to cross without proper papers. You and your group get back onto the raft or I'll fire upon you.
This is not a group. These are children. This girl is 15. This boy here is 10. This one is 9. And here's a girl of 6. And this child, her name is Shoshana. She's 5 years old. Do you want to fire on her?
I don't want to go back on the raft. I want my mommy. I want my mommy.
There's a path through the woods just a few feet to the right. Hurry up before the patrol sergeant comes by. I haven't seen anything. Hurry. Hurry.
And so we came home. Mary with a raging fever. Joseph sick with exhaustion and a paralyzed arm. Alex, the frightened boy who hid his face. Clara, whose only tie with her dead family was by burying her doll. And 5-year-old Shoshana, who had saved our lives at the last moment. And there was a 7th, whom I had not recognized, who had traveled with us every inch of the way. The 7th companion was the unconquerable human spirit. And now I knew why these children were worth saving. Why mankind is worth saving.
If you would like a copy of today's script, Please send your name and address, together with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling, to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting the Reverend Dr. Julius Mark, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Emmanuel of the City of New York. Dr. Mark.
Six human beings, children mostly, hurt, crushed, broken, innocent victims of man's inhumanity to man, came home. But in reality, there were seven. The six could not possibly have reached a haven of rest and hope had they not been accompanied by a seventh, the unyielding, defiant, conquering Spirit of God. It was a miracle, nothing less, which saved these among the million and a half survivors of Nazi ruthlessness. It is nothing short of a miracle which witnesses little Israel reborn and resurrected today, still fighting for its life, receiving with gladness and joy the remnant plucked from the all-consuming Holocaust. We Jews have been taught by 4,000 years of experience, in good times as well as in evil, that the greatest miracle in the world is faith, the kind of faith that can transform, ennoble, and exalt every life. On the concluding day of our Hanukkah festival, all the tapers on the menorah are aglow with light, which is reflected in our very souls as we recall the miracles wrought in those days and in this season through the unwavering faith of the heroic Maccabees. God grant that the effulgent spirit of a radiant and sturdy faith may take hold of the hearts of the men and women of our own confused and harassed generation, that we may exemplify by our conduct the immortal utterance of the prophet Zechariah, Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, ki im baruchi omar Adonai tzva'os, neither by material strength nor by physical power, but by my spirit shalt thou prevail, saith the Lord of hosts.
Thank you, Dr. Mark. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Seven Who Came Home, was written by Sigmund Miller. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Tatum. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured as Philip was Jack Lloyd. Some of the incidents and characters in this story were obtained from the files of Children to Palestine, a Christian organization to aid, rescue, and rehabilitate the Jewish children who survived. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC. Height in the number one spot today.